If you have your Bible or you have it on your app tonight, you can Google it or you can pull it up on your Bible app. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Really just one verse tonight, and we're going to go in many different directions based on that one verse. But I'm starting a new series tonight for the next 4 weeks on covenant. Covenant. Covenant's a word we throw around, but we really don't understand the true meaning of it. When you get married, it's a covenant. When you enter into a soulmate friendship, it's a covenant. When you join a church, you're joining a family, it's a covenant. When you get saved, it's a blood covenant. It's important. You shouldn't be able to break up easily when you're in covenant. You shouldn't be, you know, blown to and fro if you're in covenant. Somebody say amen. Amen. And for far too long, we've treated the church as just another social club. We've treated the church as just another youth athletic association. We've treated the church as just another group, another season of life to where we go and then we leave when that season's over. But the church was never designed for that. The church wasn't created for that. The church was created by Jesus, for Jesus, to be functioning and moving and doing kingdom things until he returned. The church was to be a family. It didn't matter if it was mini or mega, it was supposed to be a family. If the family member had a problem, everybody would sell their goods to take care of that family member. Everybody would work together to love one another. If someone hit a snag in sin, they would restore that person. They loved one another. They would do community and they would do life together. So we as a church, we operate beautifully in some of these areas. And as the global church, some churches do well at some of this and some churches do well at other parts of this. But as a whole, we fall short because we get our feelings hurt and we leave. We get our feelings hurt and we don't handle things biblically and we run and we chase fads and we chase voices and we chase people and we forget that we made a covenant. You see, I believe in covenant. Covenant changed my life. When I accepted Christ and I submitted to Him fully and I understood that I was making a covenant, it changed my life. When Kelly and I got married, although our courtship was crazy and rocky, and I don't know if it was Johnny and June or Eminem or Kim. I don't know which one it was, but it was crazy. But the moment we got married, God started to bless us. I mean it. Covenant. God blesses covenant. That's why people come to me. They're living together. I'm not sticking my nose up in the air judging you. But what I'm saying is if you've been living together 3 years, but you've not yet made a covenant, you've not entered into a covenant of marriage, you wonder why things keep getting screwed up. Something happens when you make a biblical covenant. It doesn't matter the circumstances surrounding the covenant. When you make a covenant with God or man, powerful things happen. What did Solomon say? Two are what? Better than one. Two are better than one. A threefold cord will not be broken. It's powerful. David and Jonathan, Ruth and Naomi, Paul and Timothy, and the list goes on and on and on. There's power in covenant. If I've made a covenant with somebody, you might think they're a misfit, but they're my misfit. First time we went to Dominican Republic, I made a covenant with Pastor Jose. We made a covenant. We wrote it down. That's to not steal from one another, to not lie to one another, and to be loyal to one another. He's been recruited by other ministries with more money. And I've been told I need to leave him in the dust by many people. But I can't because we made a covenant. Doesn't matter how red Sammy's face gets with Jose, we're in a covenant, amen? Doesn't matter what people say, we're in a covenant. I've learned that loyalty is a good attribute. Better to err on the side of grace and loyalty than on the side of legalism and judgmentalism. So there's power in covenant, and this is what it says. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God. The faithful God, that word faithful in Hebrew, means something that can be built on. Your faith ought to be something that can be built on. You should not be swayed. If you're in covenant with somebody, you can't be moved. You can't be swayed. You can't be talked out of it. If you're in covenant with your church, you can't be talked out of it. Well, the pastor left. Too bad, I'm in covenant with that church. Well, the student pastor left. Too bad, I'm in covenant with that church. Well, the preacher said something that made me mad. Too bad, I'm in covenant with that church. Well, I don't like contemporary worship. Too bad, I'm in covenant with that church. I don't like choirs. I'm in covenant with that church. It's something that can be built on. It's something that's strong. It's a foundation. You can't be pushed off of it. I honor because I've seen people make that covenant throughout my entire life. I really believe that the older generation understands this more than my generation, but we're learning. We're learning. We're getting it because they're modeling it. This church is here because, good or bad, people are here because they were called here. They made a covenant to see this thing through. God blesses covenant. He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. I've had people ask me, Pastor Ronnie, do you get upset when people leave the church? Yeah, I wish I didn't. I really do. I wish I could stand up here and say, yo, you know what? I don't give a flip. Forget them. But I can't do that because I really love them. Now, I might react to that a little bit. The truth is, when you're a pastor, you're a pastor forever. You love them. The Bible says of Jesus, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them, in the Gospel of John, eternal life. So I had a pastor set me free one time. A young pastor. He said, you know what? If they left you, they never were your sheep to begin with. Because your sheep hear your voice. And if they left you, they really weren't your sheep. Or they wandered off. And then I've gotten some other sheep from other churches. And I got to feed them, water them, love on them. But when the pastor they didn't like left and a new pastor came in, they wandered back. Nothing wrong with that. They never were my sheep to begin with. But I had to love them because I'm a shepherd. And you've got to love them because you are a shepherd. This is a covenant. It's a serious thing. The word covenant is found in the Bible over 200 times. It's a binding agreement between two individuals or entities. Our English word contract comes from that. You can't do anything anymore without a contract. You can't get somebody to pressure wash your house without signing a contract. You won't have them put windows in without signing a contract. When you buy a car, you sign a contract. When you buy a house, you sign a contract. It's because nobody trusts anybody anymore. If they understood covenant, we wouldn't have to do all that. But we sign contracts because we don't trust one another. Teams make covenants. Your successful athletic teams, be it soccer, basketball, baseball, whatever it is, the teams that are successful make covenants. Nations make covenants. Politicians make covenants, good ones and bad ones. Lobbyists make covenants. Gang members make covenants. Blood covenants. The only people that don't take the word covenant seriously are those who profess to be Christians. We're not to take joining a church lightly. God keeps His covenants. I'm not saying that God doesn't move people. I believe He does. For seasons. He moves them in jobs. He moves them for a season to learn something, to get something, to realize something. I'm not picking on that. God does that. But what I'm saying is, if God is moving you to leave, there's a right way to leave. See, when I go home and I visit my parents, which is not often, I've actually called my dad for 2 days and he hasn't called me back. I'm surprised to see him here tonight. I just want you to know I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm over it. I don't have any issues, emotional issues. Yes, absolutely. If I go to my folks' house, I don't leave without saying goodbye. One, because they're not as young as they used to be. And two, because that's my home. And so if you have to leave, say goodbye. If you got character, if you were ever with me. I get confused when you served here, you sweated here, we cried together, we prayed together, I sat at the deathbed of your family, and you on my leadership team, you don't say goodbye. And that ain't to y'all, because y'all are with me. But I'm trying to teach you, if you're in covenant, there's a character. that should come from your soul. There's a way to do things in God's kingdom, and we need to get back to some of those things in the church. We need to build new covenants. Amen? We need to reach a new generation. We need to teach a new generation about covenants. We need to understand that God thinks quite a bit of us. And when we accept Him, He keeps His word, it says, for 1,000 generations. And we're willing to cut people off after one mistake. And His mercy endures forever. And we want to judge people and write them off right away. The Old Testament word for covenant is bereath, which means to cut. How many of you know that He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of His peace was upon us, and by His stripes we are healed? It was cut. You go from the Old Covenant in Leviticus all the way to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and you'll see bloodshed every time a covenant was made. Bereath means to cut. This word was used to bring peace between tribes and nations. It was used as a bond between two people. It was used in marriage, and it was definitely used between God and man. You know, in the United States of America, we have created a racial war in 2019. I believe racism is wrong, and I believe it exists in pockets of this nation, and it's terrible. However, I think it's wrong to not celebrate how far we've come. I don't see it in my house. I don't see it in the lives of my kids. I don't hear it come out of their mouths. I don't see it when they have birthday parties. I see different races of children spending the night at my house and nobody talking about it, nobody caring about it. I never saw it that way when I was growing up. I see people loving each other on the sports field, in the classroom. I don't see it like I hear it being portrayed on the news. I'm not saying it's not out there. It is. I'm not saying people haven't had to go through difficult things. But if you ever go to Africa, you'll realize that it's not color, it's tribal affiliation. And in Africa, it's not about black or white. It's about what tribe you're in. They won't kill you over your skin color, but if you mess with their tribe, they'll kill you. Because they've made a covenant with their tribe. You see, we in America, we've tried to create something over color, when really it's not about color, it's about tribe. If you are in the tribe of Jesus Christ, if you are in Him, then you're going to suffer greatly. You're going to be persecuted. But the good news is you'll be a part of a family. And if we learn how to function as a family, we'll have each other's backs. Let me list a few covenants because I'm already preaching too long. I got my preach on tonight. First, we learned this Sunday night at the Night to Honor Israel, and we'll go back through some of these things. The Adamic covenant from the Garden of Eden. Eden represented innocence and responsibility. Adam represented divine grace. He brought a curse because he sinned. Adam and Eve sinned, a curse that was brought on us all that Galatians would tell us Jesus bore that curse on the cross. But God made a way for grace. Says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So even though Eden represented an innocence and responsibility, Adam, the first Adam, represented a way of grace, which would be the second Adam, Jesus Christ. The covenant of Noah, God promised never to destroy all life on earth with the flood again. Amen? Because of the righteous ones that He'd called them to. The Mosaic covenant, the covenant of Moses, was a conditional covenant. Everybody say conditional. Based on the law. You could be cursed or blessed based on what you did and the laws you obeyed. It was a conditional covenant. The Abrahamic covenant was unconditional. Abram was a rotten man. But when God got a hold of him and he obeyed, he blessed him. He said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Everybody say Israel. He didn't deserve it, but he said, I will bless you. He didn't deserve it, but it said, and I'll make your name great. He didn't deserve it, but he said, you shall be a blessing. You'll have purpose. They may not have deserved it, but he said, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It wasn't based on how good he was. It was based on obedience. Then there's the Palestinian covenant, and I don't have time to do all that tonight. But Ishmael was the son before the promised son, who was given a blessing, but not the ultimate blessing. It's why we still have wars going on today. You got an Ishmael and Isaac war. And they've been named a number of different things, but that's the same war. It's been going on for thousands of years. 2 Samuel chapter 7, 8, verse 16 talks about a kingdom promise that would never pass away and that would not be shaken. A kingdom that wouldn't be shaken. The promise that Jesus would one day sit on the throne of this king and reign forever. This is the Davidic covenant, the covenant of David. You ever heard Jesus referred to as the Son of David? It's because when he comes back, he's going to sit on the throne of David. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of David, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But my favorite, and you guys know this already, is the new covenant. Because of the blood of Jesus. The one that says, it is by grace we've been saved, not of works. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The one that says, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. The one that says, it's not how good you are, it's about how good God is. The one that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The one that says, you might have wandered off in a pig pen, been far away from me, taken and squandered your inheritance on worldly things, but you came to yourself and you made your way home. I'm talking about the covenant that takes a father from the porch to the road after his son's failed him. I'm talking about a covenant that restores fallen preachers and fallen ministers and sinners. I'm talking about a covenant that welcomes the homeless, the drug addict, the alcoholic, everybody in between. I'm talking about a covenant that doesn't discriminate based on race or denomination or any of this stuff that divides us. I'm talking about a new covenant of grace that Jesus Christ, he breathed for, he bled for, he died for. He created a covenant that would bring us all together. But somehow the enemy has decided to use the other covenants and the past against the future. Keeps us divided. Covenant, number one, connects us to God's purpose. Each covenant that I mentioned to you was connected to a purpose. God had purpose for all of it. Noah got drunk, sure. Moses killed an Egyptian. All kinds of things happened. David had an affair. God used all of this mess for a purpose. They had a covenant and God used it for a purpose. I'm not excusing what they did. But what I'm saying is all things work together for the good for those called according to his purpose. There is power in covenant. If you're in covenant with God and you have intimacy with God and you love God and he loves you and you are his beloved and you know how to get in the secret place with him, he will cover a multitude of your sins. It doesn't mean you can go on sinning so that grace may abound, but what it does mean is that God will cover you if you are in covenant. Amen? How many of you would say tonight, man, I should have been dead. Man, I should have been gone. God, I shouldn't even be here but for the grace of God. But I was in covenant. Everybody went to jail, and I should have went to jail, but I didn't go to jail because I was in covenant. I'm thankful for the covenant that I have with God. That's why it's important even when people are a mess, they come to church. That's why it's important that you find your one before Easter. Because that person, they could be this close to life or death, they could be this close to hell, they could be this close to jail, they could be this close to their last shot of heroin, they could be this close. Simply by you asking them to come and them making a covenant, even though they don't understand it all yet, them entering into a covenant could save their life. They could have children that could change the world. All because of a covenant. Covenant connects us to God's purpose. God cut open Adam's side to bring forth Eve, the first marriage covenant was the shedding of blood. The female body reveals the way covenant works. Genesis 6:18, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, Noah, you and your wife and your sons and your wives with you. And God said, chapter 9, verse 12, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Jehovah made a covenant. Jehovah still makes covenants through Jesus Christ. Number two, covenant conditions us for God's promises. Conditions us for God's promises. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I always thought that, like, that was just be scared to death you're going to hell every night. How many of you used to pray the salvation prayer every night you'd go to bed just to make sure? I'm still, you know, I believe in eternal security. I think if you've got the real thing, you'll persevere to the end. That's what I believe theologically. But I don't believe you can go live like you want. I just believe if you have the real Jesus, you're going to want to do right. And you will persevere to the end. That's just the way I believe theologically. And I can argue and debate you on that some other time. But that's just the way I believe. But when that plane's taking off, I sometimes make sure. You know what I mean? I sometimes, Lord, just in case, you know, go ahead and cleanse me just in case. Especially if Biggs is traveling with me, because we done messed up by then in the flesh saying things we shouldn't. So, hallelujah. I still have to make sure. Conditions us for God's promises. A covenant holds you accountable and keeps you up when you can't stand on your own. When you're married and you're weak, that your partner will lift you up. When they're weak, you ought to lift them up. When your pastor's weak, you lift him up. When you've just lost somebody, maybe it's not me, we've got a big church, but somebody here, some pastor's gonna love on you and lift you up. When you're in covenant, man, when you can't stand, that person ought to help you stand. And if you don't feel that way about the person or the church you're connected to, don't covenant with them. Don't make a covenant if you wouldn't bleed or die for that person. I'm serious, because covenant's too important of a word. It's too serious of a word. Don't say I'm in covenant if you're not. Because when you're in covenant, man, you care. You have to be strong when that person's weak. If they get sick, you take care of them. If they're going through hard times, you stay. You stay the course. It holds you accountable. Conditions us for God's promises. Jesus was present in Adam's promised seed of a woman, in Noah's ark and rainbow, Jeremiah's prophecy, Isaac as the promised seed, and the provision God made for him on Mount Moriah, Moses' Passover lamb, Joshua's promised land. He was the son of David, the mediator and the man of the new covenant. That's who he was. That's who he was. That's who he is. That's who he always will be. He's present in all of that. His new covenant was present in all of that, because each one of those covenants led us to what's called the dispensation of grace, which is the time we live in. It's the greatest time to be alive if you're connected with the church, is right now. Because as hard as things may be for you, seasonally, we are in the dispensation of grace, and God is being really good to us. Even though you may not feel like He is some days when you lose people or you struggle, seasonally, globally, this is a good time to be in covenant with God. Because He comes back a little different as the righteous judge. And when He comes back, He's not playing. Right now, we're in a dispensation of grace. The guy that came in on the donkey, this time's coming in on a horse. And he's going to be ticked. Not at the people in covenant with him, but for the people who stood against the people in covenant with him. So it's important. Finally, covenant calls us to His person. I tell you, man, if God's called you to be in covenant with someone or something, there'll be a spiritual draw. the hero within, as I call it, the Holy Spirit will draw you. Y'all know when you fell in love with your spouse, there was a draw there. Some of it might have been ungodly till it got under the blood. I get it. But there was a draw, am I right? There was a draw there. There's a draw to your church. There's a draw to your partner. There's a draw, and there ought to be something. When God calls you, His Spirit comes alive in you. The Spirit of Abba, crying out, Abba, Father, comes alive in you, and you, through Jesus Christ, come in covenant with Jehovah. And God starts to bless you, but He calls you to Himself. Salvation, power, revelation, restoration, the abundance of grace. All this happens when we enter in to a covenant with Jesus. A binding agreement. Nothing can stop unity. And unity is the outflow of covenant. Oh, brethren, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How many have been in church longer than 20 years have heard that preached 150-something times? It's because pastors can't never preach it enough. Because I've seen just when we get together in moments what God does. Could you imagine months, seasons, years of unity? Could you imagine what we could do as a nation, as a church, as individuals, in our marriages, if we were truly in unity? God gives us a commanded blessing. So if you believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, crucified, died, and was buried, got up on the third day, then you've got to believe the rest of it, and that is that there is a commanded blessing on unity. So staying ticked at somebody hinders you from the blessing of God. Not handling your stuff hinders you from the blessing of God. So I challenge you, make it right. Forgive and let go. Enter into a supernatural covenant. And when you say you're going to do something, do it. Be a man or a woman of your word. If you join the church, you commit to that church. You serve it. You bless it. Don't be a member that gets chopped off and's out. Let me tell you something. Since that we're not live stream, I get real in here. You can leave blessed from a church. Doesn't even have to be this church. You leave blessed or you leave cursed. It's all your choice. You can leave. God'll move you. It's not about that. But how you do it. If you leave this church and you go do the same thing you were doing at this church with the people you met because of your covenant with this church, and you don't ever honor this church, the Bible calls ye a bastard, an orphan. King NIV is illegitimate. King James says ye a bastard. And if you have an orphan spirit, you live under a curse. The reason some people aren't blessed is because they never made a covenant. You've never made a covenant to your wife, to your church, to the job site. You won't commit to nothing because something happened in your childhood. Daddy wasn't committed. Mama wasn't committed. Something happened to you that was unfair, and you have a problem in relationships. And you've held on to bitterness because of things happened to you, and you need to let those things go so you can enter into a godly covenant and you can receive the commanded blessing. It's not about leaving and whose church is bigger or who's better. Let me tell you, some of the best preachers in the world pastor about 180 people that preach better than the people you see on TV. I go to places in the sticks. Pastor Ron goes to places. And these guys can preach better than half the people you see on TV. Amen. And they are doing it. It's not about whose church is bigger, who's better. We're all in this together. What it's about is your blessing, your future, your covenant. Where are you supposed to be? What's God calling you to? Once He's called you to it, He's going to see you through it. But you don't want to live under a curse. Do everything you can to keep the covenant. With God, number one. With your mate, number two. Definitely with God's church. Just be faithful. Be faithful and be honest. And handle your business. Amen? Brian, I'm going to have you come. We're going to leave worship. I just want to pray over you a little bit before you go. It's just wet your whistle tonight on covenant. We're going to be doing it three more weeks, and we're going to get into some specifics about David and Jonathan. They made a blood covenant. Jonathan laid aside all of his inheritance because of a covenant he made with someone that had no access by birthright to his throne. But he gave up, laid aside his own deity. Who's that sound like? Jesus. We're going to show you a picture of Jesus in the friendship between Jonathan and David in the next few weeks. We're going to get into some specific examples, and you're going to be blessed. But there's power in covenant. So I just want you to stand up tonight. Brian's going to lead us in worship. I want us to worship a little bit. We've got, it's just 7:53. But ask God to show you in your spirit right now areas in your life, relationships, past, present, where maybe you've fallen short in the area of covenant. Because, you know, it's so easy when you hear a message like this to think about all the people in your family, on your job, in your church that have done this wrong. I'm guilty of that too. But revival doesn't start with everybody that's done you wrong. Revival starts in your heart and in my heart. So I'm not judging you tonight. I'm asking you to look within yourself, activate your hero within, your Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you areas where you've fallen short in regards to covenant, commitment. And just ask God to forgive you. And just worship Him and love on Him a little bit. He'll show you how to do better. He'll show you how to speak the right words at the right time. He'll tell you when to be quiet. Tell you when to take a strong stand and when to observe. He'll tell you when to go to that person and ask for forgiveness. He'll tell you what to text them. He'll show you how to bless them. Just listen to what God's saying to you. You know the relationship. You know the area. Yes, as you're praying, I'm just going to tell you a story. I had a personality conflict. I would say it's been 7 years ago. Wasn't church related, so don't get excited. I'm not giving you any gossip. It was outside the church. Wasn't related to this church at all. I loved this particular person with all of my heart. Selling drugs. I kept letting them work with me, kept honoring them, letting them help me doing what I was doing in the community. They were embarrassing. They hurt me time and time and time again. To the point where I finally said, after 3 or 4 restorative moments, I said these words: God's grace never runs out, but mine does, and we done. And that was it. The problem was, people connected to this individual loved me, and when that relationship ended, it affected like 7 people. And it had been 7 years. We'd see each other in public, we wouldn't speak. Nothing disrespectful happened. Just wouldn't speak. We could be sitting 3 feet from each other. He had a son during that season that was born with all these problems and probably won't live to see 15 years old. I was out of town preaching. I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw a GoFundMe for his little boy. Now, I had compassion for his little boy the whole time. But the Lord said, I want you to give $100. I said, I don't want to give $100. The Lord said, give $100. It's okay. I went on. Gave $100. Just put Ronnie. Preach this revival for a couple days. I'm fixing to fly home the next day. I get a message from the guy. He said, "Hey, Brother Ronnie, I was just wondering if I'd be welcome to come to your church sometime." He said, "I watch you on TV all the time. I'm very proud of you. I'm sorry for everything I ever did to you. I wonder if I'd be welcome to come to your church." I said, "Yeah, you would." What am I telling you? This Holy Spirit will show you how to build a bridge. Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. Let me tell you, as Gandhi said, forgiveness is for the strong, not for the weak. And sometimes you can't. People won't hear you. They're attacking you, and you've got to protect your family from that spirit. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, text them, call them, go eat with them. Let them know that the slate's clean, because I wiped your slate clean. And the Bible says if we won't forgive others, He won't forgive us. So if the Holy Spirit's revealed to you areas in your life where you've fallen short in regards to covenant, I want you to ask God to renew you, to forgive you, but ask God to reveal to you ways you can be a better friend, a better spouse, a better church member, better son, better daughter, better father, better mother, better grandfather, better co-worker, and He'll show you. Let's worship just a few minutes before we close. Heavenly Father, seal this tonight, this message of covenant. Seal it with Your precious Holy Spirit. Father God, we've made revival about tongues of fire, and that's a part of it. We've made it about baptisms, and that's certainly a part of it. But Lord, revival is about getting right with one another too. And letting go of our grudges. And reaching out to that person that we know needs to be in church. Reaching out to that person that we know is a mess. Inviting that person for the 17th time. Even when we think they're going to say no. Because there may be a night where we're just sitting here on a Wednesday night with 120, 30 people, and that person just shows up. Father God, I ask You to continue to move in this place. Continue to move in our people. Lord, bless us as we worship You, Lord. And if you're not in covenant with Jesus, just say, "Lord, forgive me. I accept Your free gift of grace. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and use me." And you are now in covenant. You've now activated a mystery, and that is Christ in you. Let us worship before we leave.